wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spews water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helps the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Annabelle. What could be more Christmassy than that?
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you. Please be seated. Well, I turn back to Revelation chapter 12, page 1241. Now, who here has been in a nativity play? Yes, perhaps most of us. Do you remember what parts you played in the nativity play? Yes, John. Joseph, well done, all those roles. Jonathan Austin? Okay, quite a confession. Anybody else? What, yes. Okay, a snowflake, yes. Yes. A donkey, okay. Yes, yes. Mary, okay, yes, yes. So sometimes there are the traditional nativities, aren't there? But sometimes there are those with a bit more artistic license. I was just looking at our beautiful nativity display here. You should come up and have a look at it. There's one at the end of the pathway outside as well. But even this has camels and the donkey and sheep, which are not actually mentioned as being in the manger and so on. But sometimes there are all sorts of extraordinary things, aren't there, in the nativity play? Snowflakes, robots, aliens, talking Christmas crackers. I saw online that someone said that they had once played the third bauble in the nativity play. Somebody else, a door. Oh, I don't know if you remember that Christmas Eve film, Love Actually. I think that the child there is delighted when she gets to be first lobster. Well, someone has called Revelation chapter 12 the weirdest nativity. A really weird nativity. There are two strange animals in this nativity. First of all, there's a lamb. Well, you might think quite Christmassy. The shepherds, the lamb, fantastic. But we find the lamb in the manger. The lamb. But also, there's a dragon. A dragon loitering menacingly. Now, in fact, this beautiful Welsh dragon, very cuddly and cute, fantastic, not really terribly appropriate. Now, I've always thought it's a bit of a shame, really, that the symbol of Wales is a dragon, Satan, and the English get the cross. So that's a bit of a frizz, really. This dragon, really too cuddly for our nativity. We need a much more menacing, rather scary sort of dragon. And thankfully, the rectory boasts one. There you are. Makes for a strange nativity, doesn't it? Of course, it's a symbolic vision. A vision of a woman giving birth. The baby is Jesus, but who is the woman? Well, you might think, it's obvious, isn't it? Baby Jesus, the woman must be Mary, the mother of Jesus. But not straightforwardly, I think. Mary was an ordinary Jewish teenager, but see how this woman is described in verse 1. She's clothed with the sun, and she has the moon and the stars under her feet. She wears a crown of 12 stars. Mary might have got a bit of flack if she turned up at college dressed like that. There's a clue to the identity of this woman, I think, in the number 12. Because 12 in the Bible is the number of the 12 tribes of Israel. So probably this woman, I think, maybe Mary, but probably the nation of Israel. It's the people of God who give birth to Jesus, the Messiah. So here is Christmas, the great climax of the story of the people of God. The Bible has been pregnant with hope and expectation for hundreds of years. And now Jesus has come to fulfill all the hopes of God's people. In fact, it is as if God's people have narrowed down
into one person. Jesus is going to be a new Israel. He's going to begin a new international people of God. So here's Jesus, God's person, God's man, the faithful Israelite. Jesus, the only perfect person, the one who embodies the people of God and all they were meant to be. But also, verse 3, there's this enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Well, John unmasks the dragon for us in verse 9. He is that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. Here again, in a different guise, is the snake from the Garden of Eden who deceived Adam and Eve and led them into sin. You might remember in Genesis 3, we're told there's going to be enmity between the snake and the offspring of the woman. The snake will strike his heel, attack him, wound him a bit, but the seed of the woman, her child, her offspring, will crush the serpent's head. So that's the great story of the Bible, the great drama, the search for the serpent crusher. Who is the one who's going to undo the work of Satan and sin and evil? Who's the one who'll put the world to rights and triumph? Could this one be the serpent crusher? Has he come yet? And now here he is in Jesus. He's the offspring of the woman, the seed, the child, the son, who will triumph over Satan and evil and sin. To change the picture just a little bit, Jesus is the prince who kills the dragon and gets the girl. He's the knight in shining armour, the dragon slayer. So that's to race ahead in the story. Back to the picture in Revelation chapter 12. It's a disturbing image there of that dragon poised to gobble up the newborn baby. Verse 5. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Might seem like panto nonsense to us. But remember King Herod. There was a sword hanging over Jesus, wasn't there, as soon as he was born. He was pursued in an attempt to be murdered. He had to flee for his life. God protected him by warning the wise men in a dream. So we've got this woman, Mary, Satan. We've got this dragon, Herod. The dragon, Herod, Satan. And there's going to be a battle between the dragon and the baby. The dragon and the lamb, as it will turn out. Well, the outcome should be obvious, shouldn't it? The fierce dragon is obviously going to gobble up the baby, the lamb. It'll be no contest at all. Couldn't let your dragon off the lead in a field of sheep, could you? You'd get in terrible trouble. But there's one more prop which tells us the outcome of this true story. It is, in this case, a poker from the Rectory Companion set. But it could have been a crowbar. It could have been a rod of iron. It could have been a scepter. The lamb in the manger is holding a rod of iron. Just like the queen at her coronation, a symbol of her power and rule. It goes back to Psalm 2, where God said, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I have said to him, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. And here's the prop. You will break them with a rod of iron and smash them to pieces like pottery. Satan is the accuser. But John's readers can be sure, Revelation chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, that the dragon has lost his place in heaven and been hurled down to the earth. He can no longer accuse us before God. Or as John says the same thing in verse 10, now has come the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down, as if the prosecution counsel has been sent out of the court. There's no case to answer because of Jesus. Verse 11, they, the Christian believers, triumph over him, over Satan, over the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb. So the Lamb wins by shedding his blood. That blood speaks of a sacrificial death. John's readers would have thought back to the Passover, that lamb that was eaten to remember their exodus when they escaped from Egypt, the lamb who died in their place, and they sheltered under the blood that the angel of death might pass over them when he saw the blood of the lamb. The lamb died instead of them that they might live. Remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he cried out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or back in Revelation chapter 5, they sing to Jesus the Lamb in heaven, you are worthy because you are slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God. In Revelation chapter 7, we're told that God's people are made clean by the blood of the Lamb. Again, it's almost an absurd idea, isn't it? The Lamb beats the dragon. You can be made clean in the blood of the Lamb. It's a disgusting idea, isn't it? You know, if you said to your teenager, you haven't had a shower for days, go and wash in that blood. That white shirt, smear it in the blood and you'll be made clean. But the blood of Jesus purifies. Our robes, the Bible says, can be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. So this Christmas, God rest ye merry gentlemen and gentlewomen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ, our Saviour, was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. Or maybe another little poem. Mary had a little lamb. She laid him in a manger. One day he'd die upon the cross to rescue us from danger. The good news of Christmas is not just a baby born in a stable. It's the birth and death of the Lamb who triumphs over the dragon, who makes God's people clean by his blood, who rules the nations with his rod of iron. May God renew our delight and joy and peace this Christmas as we trust in the triumph of the Lamb and of his blood which makes us clean. And may we be pleased to come under his just and perfect and gentle rule. Amen.